All right, let's turn to Ephesians tonight. I just want to read one verse and say, and go to four other scriptures concerning that verse, and preach just a short time tonight. I believe the Lord would help us tonight. Out of Ephesians chapter number 6, and we're going to read verse 12 together. It's rather a large verse, so we'll go slow, but we'll read it together tonight. In Ephesians 6 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Thank you. May be seated. Our Father, we do come tonight. What a joy it's been already to be in the service and Lord, to hear the people have joy in their heart and the thankfulness in their heart. We're living in an age that the Bible said would be unthankful and unholy. And so we're thankful that, Lord, even in an unholy age, that we have people that, have gratitude in their heart for what the Lord has done. And as Brother Eddie said, certainly, Lord, if we've truly been saved, Lord, that's one thing that happens in our life that we always cherish, and it's always a sweet memory. But, Lord, we don't always need to just live in the yesterday. We need to have fresh, new experiences with the Lord every day in our life as we go forward for God. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll bless this one passage of Scripture tonight and help me to, Lord, to be able to expound it tonight. I pray that, God, that you will preach out of my heart into these people's hearts something tonight that would help them. And we thank you for all that's here. And we pray for those that might not be saved, that they might come to the knowledge of that, and they might also come to the knowledge that there is one Savior who gave himself a ransom for all men. And if they'll come to him tonight, he'll save them. God, help us tonight. We look to you for that help. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to lift just a phrase out of that whole verse that's found there about middle ways in toward the end, where the Bible talks about the darkness of this world. The darkness of this world. We're now living now in the darkness that Paul wrote about then. Paul wrote about this a long time ago, and we're now living in that darkness. As a general rule, people don't like to be alone in the dark. Amen. They usually want somebody else with them if they're in the dark. Now, the Lord, the Bible tells us in Genesis 1 and 2, that when we found this world, and I know we have those that are students of the Bible and study the Bible, we have what they call the gap theory, which is debatable, and some believe it, some don't. But anyway, in verse 2, when we found, when God speaks of this world, he says in verse 2, it was without form and darkness was upon it. It was dark when God let us come into it in Genesis 2. I want to say that the Bible says that God, that he made light, and God said it was good. God did not leave the world in darkness. But now, after thousands of years, and I just want to say, I kind of got into this morning, and I was preaching about how the devil is the god of this present world. And how the reason that is that it's not that he's not defeated, he is already a defeated foe. But I believe, that when God made Adam, that the Bible said Adam was to have dominion over the earth. And I believe that God give Adam a 6,000-year lease on having dominion on the earth. And the devil beat Adam out of that, tricked him, betrayed him out of that, and the devil took over that lease, and now he is the god of this world. But that lease is probably soon going to run out. You say, who gets it then? Well, Jesus. Because after 6,000 years, you have the millennial reign, which means that the Lord will come back and he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. And you're talking about a change. There's going to be a change. You say you believe that? Yeah, I believe that because I believe the Bible teaches that. Amen. And he's going to rule and reign. People that are saved, God's people, they're going to have a part in that millennial reign. You don't hear much preaching about it. Somebody asked me the other day, said, you don't hear much preaching about that 1,000-year reign. And it's true, you don't hear a lot of preaching about it. Probably because a lot of us don't know a lot about it. We just know it's going to be good. But during that millennial reign, the Bible said that Christian people that have been faithful and served God, that they're going to rule and reign with the Lord. And he said he'll make one ruler over 10 cities and one ruler over 5 and so forth and so on. So I expect I'll be over Nobob, Kentucky probably. But I don't care what I'm over, thank God. I'm just glad I'm going to get to rule and reign with the Lord. Amen. You know, the Bible does say if we suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. Amen. And so God moved upon the world and God made the light and God said it was good. But now, after thousands of years and after Satan betraying and deceiving Adam and Eve and taking over that lease, we find that this world is dark again. There's a darkness in this world. I'm sure that you realize tonight, folks that have been around a while, I'm sure you realize tonight that it's getting darker all the time. It's getting darker all the time. There's no doubt about that. I think we must be somewhere around the area of the third watch. You say, why is that? Because the fourth watch is the darkest part. And the darkest part will be the tribulation time that will come after the rapture of the church. So we are living in a dark time. The Bible tells us about it. The Bible speaks about it. The darkness of this world. Now let me just say tonight, if I might, if God will help me, I want to use 4 scriptures tonight, just say something about the darkness of this world. If you'll look over in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 53, let me read down through verse 53 from verse 47. This is right after what we preached on this morning, after the temptation of Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said after He found the victory and after He had came and told the disciples that they needed to pray, the Bible said immediately in verse 47, and while He yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before Him, and he drew near unto Jesus to kiss Him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about Him saw what would follow, they said unto Him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest, and he cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer you thus far. And he touched his ear, and he healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priest and the captain of the temple and the elders which were come to Him, but you come out as against a thief with swords and staves. Verse 53 is a verse I want you to see. And the Bible said, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now, Jesus said that this is the devil's hour and the power of darkness. But one thing that has always encouraged me when God showed it to me in reading that is that even though it was the devil's hour, and even though it was the hour of the devil and the power of darkness, that Jesus was still able to work. Because even amidst that hour of darkness, He took that man's ear and He put it back on. And I'm just glad tonight that even though that we're in this time of darkness tonight, I'm glad that Jesus is still able to work. Amen. I'm glad that there's still people getting saved. I'm glad that like tonight, the good Spirit, the sweet Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God is still moving among us from time to time and encouraging us as children of light. But I want to say tonight that that verse tells us that darkness has its power. Darkness does have a power about it. Now, you say, what is the power of darkness, Brother Rick? Well, I think tonight that that darkness holds a power to betray. Because when we read the Word of God and we read about Judas coming, even back before that over in John, they're all there at the Lord's Supper. They're all there. John, as we sung about tonight, John is leaning upon the breast of Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus says there about verse 26, the other disciples, they're asking John, ask Jesus, who's going to betray him? John's close to him. Have John to ask Jesus, and he'll know who it is. Well, you see, John, I've taught this to the folks that come here, but John was a type of the church. Because, you see, the Bible says that John always referred to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. You see, God so loved the world, but Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself for it. You see, tonight, John is the one. It was always John that stayed with the Lord. John was the one that stayed there beneath the cross. And it was John that Jesus committed His mother under the keeping of John. We know that it was John there in John 21 where the Bible said Peter was asking the Lord. He said, what's this man here going to do? And Jesus said, what is that to thee? What is it if he tarries till I come? You see, the church is going to be tarrying until Jesus comes. And then it was John over there in Revelations 4 that John said, I heard a voice like a trumpet, and I was caught up, and immediately I was before the throne of God. You see, it's the church that's going to be raptured when the trumpet sounds. It's the church that's going up before God. Amen. But we realize tonight that the Bible said about Judas there, he said, asked him who it is. And he then lying on Jesus' breast, verse 25 of chapter 13, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop. When I have dipped it, when he hath dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered in to him. That word sop, did you ever think about it? The son of perdition. The Bible said that's what Judas was. And he said, that. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. And no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought that because Judas had the bag, that Judas had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Notice verse 30, and then having received the sop, he went out immediately out, and notice the semicolon, and then the extra information, and it was night. Can I tell you that it's easier to betray in the darkness? Listen tonight, my friend. There's something about the light that makes it harder to be betrayed. But Judas went out in the night, the Bible said. You can be deceived in the night. You can be betrayed in the night. One time and one time only, I traded cars in the night. It was a rainy night. I went out and looked at this car that we were going to trade for. I'm telling you, it looked like $1 million. I said, yes, I'll trade. He said, meet me at the courthouse the next morning. The next morning, I went up. I drove around Glasgow Courthouse three times. I never did see that car. Finally, I seen an old car sitting there, and I thought, surely to goodness, this ain't it. It was. I kept my word. I traded with the guy, and I traded with him. But I was betrayed because of the night. I couldn't see good. I'll tell you tonight, there's a lot of people in this old world tonight. They're being betrayed because of the darkness that we are now in. I guess there's more people being deceived tonight in our kind of a day than probably have ever been deceived since God made man. Jesus said, He said, be careful, beware. He said, don't let any man deceive you. Preacher man, presidential man, pope man, any kind of a man, don't let any man deceive you. You say, Brother Rick, how can I keep from being deceived? That book you have in your hand, read it, learn it, study it, know it. It's the best antidote against deception that you'll ever find anywhere. But the darkness has power to betray people. People think they're getting something. People think they're getting into something. And because of the darkness, they do not realize what they are getting into. A lot of folks tonight, my heart goes out to them. They have been betrayed. They have been deceived in the darkness of this world. There's a power to that darkness. Did you know that darkness holds the power to blind? Now it sounds kind of the same, but in 1 John 2 and verse 11, the Bible said, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. We say that lost people are in the dark. We say that lost people are blind. You see, blind people can't see. They can feel, but they cannot see. And we realize tonight, that's why lost people, when we talk to them about hell, we talk to them about church going, we talk to them about serving God, they say, I just can't see it. Well, they're not lying. They're telling the truth. They can't see it because they're in the darkness. But I'm glad that as blind as old Barnabas was, one day he came to the Lord, and the Lord said, Barnabas, what would you that I do for you? He said, Lord, that I might see. I'm glad one day God opened up my blinded eyes. I'm glad that I don't look at the world the way I used to look at the world. I'm glad that, thank God, I'm glad that I'm able to see now. The Bible said the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. You say, what's that mean? That means the more I read this Bible, the wider the light gets, the farther I see, amen. But the verse right before that, it says, but the it talks about the path of the lost man. He said that he knows not at what he stumbles. He walks in darkness and he knoweth not at what he stumbles. Amen. Listen, folks, there is a darkness over this world tonight. And it's getting darker by the day. It's getting darker by the hour. And that darkness has a power to blind. You say, 50 years ago, there is no way that you could have got a Supreme Court to vote in same-sex marriage. There is no way. But you know why that's happening now? Because people have took that book and they've got it out of the school. They've got it out of the public place. They've got it out of the arena. And people are back in the dark ages. Amen. I tell you, this Bible will bring you to the light. Amen. But if you don't have this Bible, you're going to be in the darkness. Sad to say, we're living in a nation today that is in darkness because it has rejected the light of God's Word. Amen. You see, that darkness holds the power to blind. You remember old Samson? Over there in Judges, Samson was God's strong man. And in Judges 16, in verse 21, the Bible talks about how that Delilah deceived him there and how that he went to sleep. Must have been the night time. And the Bible said that she made him sleep on her knees and she called for a man and she caused him, verse 19 of chapter 16, to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I'll go out as at other times before and shake myself. He wished not the Lord had departed from him. I tell you, if the Lord ever departs from you, you wish not. But the Bible said, but the Philistines took him and they, watch it, they put out his eyes and they brought him down to Gaza and they bound him with fetters of brass. Can I tell you, the darkness has a power to bind, amen. It has a power to bind. My heart goes out to these folks that are hooked on whatever it might be, whether it be alcohol or drugs or prescription pain pills. And I want to say tonight, a lot of times you look down on the person that's hooked on drugs and meth and all like that. But on the other hand, you have people in the church that are just as hooked on prescription pain medicine as those people are. Brother Epps says the only difference is that one of them we call it legal and the other one is illegal. But I want to tell you, my friend, whatever you're bound on, it's not fun to be bound. And the darkness makes it where that people can get bound. I want to say tonight, once that threefold cord wraps around you, the world, the flesh, and the devil, I'll tell you, you won't just break that off. You just won't say, I'm not going to do it anymore. It'll take Jesus, amen. It'll take that strong man to break them cords and set you free. But thank God, he can do it, praise God. Amen. He can do it. Praise God. I'm glad for the light. We're like the children of Israel. They were down in Egypt and there was darkness. The Bible said it was a darkness that could be felt. It was a great darkness and it could be felt. But he said in all the children of Israel's dwellings there was light. Amen. Come on, my house tonight. I got light. Every child of God ought to have light. Amen. I got light, buddy. I got real light. Amen. I got light that lets you see through the darkness. Amen. I got light that will show you how to get unbound. I got light that will let the blind man see. Praise God. I've got light that will keep you from being betrayed. And there is a power of darkness. The Bible says there is. But I want to say also there's a power of light that is greater than the power of darkness. It don't take much light either. We can black every window, turn every light out. I could have Brother Nathan just to turn on a pen light. It'll pierce the darkness. Amen. Folks, that's what you and I need to do. We need to let our lights be shining to pierce the darkness of the world that we're now living in. But darkness has its power. Don't get caught under it. Don't get caught up in it. Stay in the light. Stay with the light. Amen. Walk in the light. People say, Brother Rick, I know Jesus, but they don't live for Jesus. They don't love Jesus. They don't read Jesus' book. They don't talk like people that know Jesus according to this Bible. And you see, here's what the Bible said, folks. The Bible says if we say that we have fellowship with Him, Jesus, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm glad, Brother Eddie, thank God we can walk in the light. I know, you know, people don't like it when they're in the dark. They don't like it when you turn a bright light on in their face. They get aggravated. It makes them mad. It blinds them. You see, this old book here is a light. What I'm doing right now is I'm shining light in your eyes. And if you're in the darkness, it might irritate you. But it'll help you get out of that darkness. Most people don't, you know, when you get in the darkness, you know, you can close your eyes for a little while and then open them up and you can see a little bit better. You kind of adjust to the darkness. Same thing with the light. You ever come out into the sun and it's just blinding? You come out into the sun, you close your eyes for a minute. But then you open them back up and you see more clearly. That's what you need to do about church. When the light shines in your eyes and it's almost blinding, don't go back into the dark. Just keep sitting there in the light and you'll get adjusted to it. I know folks come in and they think that everybody in here has always wore a suit and a tie and they've always went to church every Sunday of their life and they've always been so good and so nice and so kind and so Christian-like. Can I tell you tonight, I want to put you at ease tonight. You're sitting among a bunch of liars, thieves, drug heads, drunkards. You're sitting amidst a bunch of people that has been in the dark. But thank God we found the light. I'm glad that God can overcome that power of darkness in our life. Amen. Amen. Look in Ephesians 6 and 12, our text verse again. The Bible says there, it said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." Now, if you write in your Bible, underline that word flesh and blood. You see, the darkness has its people. But you see, these are what we Christians wrestle against. We get it in our mind that we're wrestling against flesh and blood. But you just read in your Bible that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. What we're wrestling against is those principalities, those rulers of darkness in high places. That's what we're up against tonight. Can I tell you tonight, if you and I only knew half of what was going on in high places tonight. If we only knew half. You see, tonight, my problem is not Brother Eddie. Not most of the time, anyway. My problem is not anybody here in this church. And your problem's not me. But sometimes we allow the devil to get in our life. And then we say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. Amen. And then we get to thinking Nathan's against me and I've got to fight Nathan. Nathan thinks Brother Rick's against me. I got to fight Brother Rick. But really it's not Nathan or Brother Rick and we don't have any problems tonight. We get along just fine. I love Brother Nathan. He's a great help to me and I appreciate him and his family. But I'm just trying to use a scenario here. What I'm saying is that it's not us, it's the spirit of the devil that works in us. Jesus gave us that example when he told Peter, "I'm going to the cross." And Simon Peter, he said, "Lord, I'll never let you go to the cross." And Jesus, looking right at Peter, said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou suffer not the things that be of God." Peter, it was the devil working through him. You know, the devil works through us sometimes. You say, "Oh, not me." Let me talk to your wife after church. Amen. You see, the devil has a way of doing that. And the darkness has its people. You see, who are they? They're in high places. They're in high places tonight. The devil has them. They're in places of power. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do believe there's a lot of wickedness in high places. And I do believe the devil has an agenda he's trying to push into this world. Amen. He's trying to get it done because he's the God of this world. Remember what I said? I believe that God gave Adam a 6,000-year lease. The devil took it over. We got to be nearing the end of that lease pretty soon. And the devil knows he has but a short time. And so he's doing all he can to push his agenda. It's kind of like a political group that knows they're about to be voted out of office. and they're trying to push everything through. Now, I know I'm a pastor, and I know pastors are not allowed to tell people who to vote for, not in church. If you'll see me 5 minutes after I walk out the door, I'd be glad to tell you, amen. But look, they're in high places, and they have a heart for sin. You see, they love darkness rather than light. John 3, that great chapter said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But it said, herein is darkness, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. I know why people don't like to come to church. They're living in the darkness. They don't want to come to church until they get ready to get out of the darkness. Praise God for that. Amen. It's like Billy Sunday said. He said the reason a bank robber can't never find a policeman is he's not looking for one. Amen. And the reason people can't find God and salvation a lot of times is because they're not looking for it, Brother Eddie. But they're in high places. They have a heart for sin. We all have had a heart for sin. Amen. Some of us more than others, but we have all had a heart for sin. You see, the Bible says that they have a home awaiting them. In Matthew 25:30, He says one of these days, if they don't get right with God, they don't get saved. He talked about people, but as far as demonic spirits, He's going to cast them out into outer darkness. Some of them are already in chains of darkness. According to the book of Peter, they're already in chains of darkness. I believe this with all my heart. I believe when God made heaven, He had the child of God in mind. He knew what the child of God likes. They like light. So He makes heaven a place of light. The child of God likes peace, so He makes heaven a place of peace. The child of God likes stability, so He gives them a mansion in His Father's house. The child of God, all the things that you like as a Christian, they like music. I was telling the men at prayer last night. I was in a place of business last night before prayer, and there were some people behind me. They were old, probably 35, 40-year-old couple, two different couples. And I was listening to them talking. You mean eavesdropping? I prefer listening. I was listening to them talk, and here's what they said. They said, my parents said they go to church all the time. All they think about is church. They're at church all day long. And one of them said, I tell you what, said about 30 minutes of that's about all I need. And boy, I probably should have done it. But I just sat there, but I wanted so bad to turn around and say, are you planning on going to heaven? And I'm sure they would have said yes. And I said, you're going to have to stay longer than 30 minutes. Amen. See, I like church. And I'm starting here in just a few days. I'll be in church again every night for several nights. But I'm not complaining. My wife, I was telling her about it yesterday, and she said, I don't feel sorry for you because you love it. And so I'll have to try to use something else to get her sympathy. But I do like church. And I believe a person can be saved and maybe not want to go, but they're not right with the Lord. When you get right with the Lord, you want to be in the house of God. You want to be with God's people. And I couldn't tell you how many of you folks have told me, preacher, if I could just stay in church all the time, I'd be all right. But we can't stay in church all the time, can we? But the darkness has its people, but one of these days, you see, what I was saying was when God made heaven, He had the child of God in mind. But when God made hell, He made it for the devil and his angels. The devil is the prince of darkness. He likes darkness. So God turned the light out. Amen. The devil likes evil and wickedness, and he likes to make people cry and suffer and pain. So God makes it a place like that. Amen. So I'm glad that the darkness has its people, but I'm glad they have a place awaiting them. Look in Romans 13, 12, if you would, please. Romans 13, verse 12. The Bible says there in verse 12, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Darkness has its power. Darkness, Brother Eddie, has its people. But darkness has its production. I believe the assembly line's on overtime. Don't you? Look over in Matthew 7. Listen to what Jesus said. In Matthew 7, Jesus says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. The men gather grapes or thorns or thistles, figs or thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down, and it is cast into the fire. Notice the tree. He says a good tree will bring forth good things. An evil tree will bring forth evil things. Did you know if a person is doing good deeds and they're not saved, that those good deeds are evil deeds in the sight of God because they're trying to do them to be saved? That's why they're trying to do them. Notice the truth here. A corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. I have an apple tree in my backyard. Guess what it's got on it? Apples. Amen. Now, he's talking in the context about false prophets. But the tragedy is, in verse 19, he said, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit will be hewed down and cast into the fire. The darkness has its production. It produces things. We could go to Galatians tonight, and we could see what the darkness, the flesh, we could see what it produces. Adulteries, fornication, all the list of things that the darkness produces. We could look over and we could see the fruit, not fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit. There's nine of them mentioned there, and they're all good. They're all good, amen. So it has to do, what you're producing in your life may tell what you are, amen. All right, look in Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Right there where we're at. The Bible says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, I'm finishing tonight, but here's my point tonight. The darkness has its power. It does. No doubt about it. The darkness has its people. It does. There's no doubt about it. The darkness has its production. We see it all over the world, what's going on tonight, in all kinds of places tonight. But the darkness has its problem. You see, the Bible says that we should reprove the works of darkness. The darkness has three big problems tonight. You say, what is it? Number one, the Word of God. The Bible said in Psalms 119, verse 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you know why they wanted to get rid of the book? Because as long as the book's around, it pierces the darkness. As long as the book's there, it tells you what's right and what's wrong. I'm not going by my opinion tonight. I'm not going by my feeling tonight. I'm not going by my preference tonight. But when I go by the Word of God, I'm not being a bigot. I'm not a hate monger. I don't hate anybody. I'd like to help everybody. But this Bible says that some things are wrong and some things are right. It's wrong for two people of the same sex to live together as married. But let me say this, it's wrong for two people to live together of opposite sex that's not married. You see, we've come down to a time where that people think that, well, as long as we're not doing that, then this is okay. No, that's still wrong, too. Amen. That's still wrong. You say, what do you do about that? Well, we shine the light. We try to get people to see. We love them. We're patient with them. We pray for them. We shine the light, hoping that one day, thank God, the light will break through and they'll see it. Praise God. That's what we do. I'm not for beating up anybody, no matter what they are. I'm sympathetic toward folks. I hope they'll see the light. My job is to tell them. My job is to speak it in truth. Some people tell them, but the whole time they're telling them, they're hating them while they're telling them. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. Amen. By the way, the next one might be your son or daughter. You better have some mercy today if you expect to get any tomorrow. The Bible said, blessed is the merciful, for they shall find mercy. Amen. 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 And so what I'm saying is tonight, listen, that thank God there's the Scriptures, and the Scripture makes a problem for the darkness. Amen. Because it's the light. Amen. And then there's the saints. The Bible calls you people children of light. How many times have some of you said, man, I wish God would get me another job. He's got me working right over there with all them unsaved people. He's got me right over there with all them wicked people. I wish God would put me somewhere else. Where do you need a light bulb at? In the dark. In the dark. Maybe they'll watch you. Maybe you'll help lead them out of whatever mess they might be in. But you see, that's why the world wants to get rid of us Christians. Because we're light. But here's the big problem, and I'm done tonight. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look at verse 7. The Bible said, for the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and he shall destroy with what? With the brightness of his coming. Amen. What's going to destroy the darkness? The light. The light. Jesus is the light. Amen. Jesus is the light. And one day the light is coming again soon. The light's coming, and when it does, it's going to disperse all the darkness. And that's going to be the end of the devil. And I say, thank the Lord. I say, praise God. Amen. I believe Nathan and them sings in the choir, there's a city of light where there cometh no night. I'm glad I'm going to live in that city. Praise God.